It's Northeast Delta Dental Radio with Tom Raffio.
Welcome to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. I'm Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio, and I'm also the head coach of the dental insurance company known as Northeast Delta Dental. Well, it's hard to believe it's November 24th and 25th. We've already had a little snow in New Hampshire. I hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving. There was a great race at Northeast Delta Dental Stadium on Thanksgiving Day, put on by Millennium Running, part of the Northeast Delta Dental Points Chase Series. It gives us an opportunity to spread the oral health message among our running friends. So that was a great day. I also want to put a big shout out to all the veterans. We, of course, really promoted two things. On Veterans Day itself, Northeast Delta Dental sponsored the Discovery Center, so veterans could and their families could go in and visit the Discovery Center. And we also are a sponsor of the Veterans Learning Center at the Veterans Cemetery. And we have several veterans at Northeast Delta Dental, and we also celebrated them with a luncheon. And one of those veterans that works with us at Northeast Delta Dental is Dr. Keith Rogerson, who is one of our dental consultants, but also has done a lot in his life, including being a Green Beret. So, Keith, thank you for joining us this weekend right after Thanksgiving. I hope you had a great Thanksgiving.
Well, yes.
Thank you. And so we'll get into the topic today, which is hospital dentistry, very important. But again, I want to thank you for your service to our country. I'm just in awe of anybody, that has, served our country. Last week, I had General Bolduc at the office talking about some of his experiences in Afghanistan, and I'm awed and honored that you're here. So I know that you're very quiet about your years of service, but tell us briefly a mini history of your career as a Green Beret, and then we'll get right into our topic today, which is hospital dentistry.
Okay. Well, following college, I was commissioned as a lieutenant in the infantry in the United States Army, and I served approximately 5 years on active duty before leaving active component to go to dental school. At that time, I was assigned to a reserve special forces unit, went through special forces training. I had already been through airborne and ranger school. And I spent roughly about 15 years serving in various special operations assignments, primarily out of Fort Bragg, but also elsewhere on the East Coast. And we're talking about a service that's calls themselves the Quiet Professionals, and they really are a tremendous group of individuals who are so dedicated and so professional in what they do. I was honored to be part of that group.
Great. Well, thank you, and thank you for the service to our country. So you're one of the great and awesome dental consultants we have in-house at Northeast Delta Dental. What is the role of a dental service in the hospital?
Well, yes. I mean, when you think of, dental care, you normally think about a community, local neighborhood office or an office in a professional center. But really, there is a significant role for the dentist in the hospital. And we just don't check our mouths at the door when we wind up going to the hospital. So medical science has highlighted the interrelationship between oral health and overall well-being. The hospital sees people who have been subject to various types of traumas and injuries. And there are also, there's a vast population of people who really need the support that a hospital has in order to receive regular dental care, particularly those with special needs and very young patients. So the role of the dental service is to provide oral care, to treat dental trauma and facial trauma, as well as oral facial diseases.
Now, just if we could just do a footnote on one of the things you mentioned, the connection between good overall health and good oral health. Tell us, the science behind that systemic connection.
Well, I mean, most dental diseases are inflammatory diseases, and we're beginning to realize just how much those inflammatory diseases affect other systems in your body. We certainly have seen this long-standing relationship between diabetes and poor oral health, but there's also new research suggesting a role in other types of diseases, heart disease and things like that, just beyond, patient self-image and their ability to eat well and be healthy. We are seeing these other aspects of the relationship between dental disease or oral disease and overall diseases.
Which is why I'm always passionate about the position as head coach of Northeast Delta Dental, and all of us rally behind this. But when you have dental insurance, when you have dental coverage, you tend to go to the dentist way more often than if you don't have coverage. And our goal is to get people to the dentist. We have a great new program called, actually it's a couple years old now, Health Rural Wellness, which based on when you go in and get your cleaning, and if you're a Delta Dental subscriber, in the operatory, there's a series of questions, and based on provisor software, which is what powers Health Rural Wellness. So let's get back to the hospital setting. So what is the history of dentistry in the hospital setting?
Well, it's always been perplexing to me how dentistry and medicine have kind of evolved along different pathways. For the last 1,000 years or so, becoming a physician has really been a university-based training process, whereas dentistry has been thought of more as a trade craft, and for many, many years it followed kind of the traditions of the barber surgeons, where you learn dentistry through an apprenticeship. And it wasn't until around 1840 that two dentists actually approached the medical college in Baltimore and proposed that they create a dental training program in their medical college. And the proposal was rejected, so they went out on their own and created the first dental school, the Baltimore College of Dental Surgery. And that became the first dental school in the world, and essentially then set the model for how dental education would take place. I mean, highly professional training, but separate from medicine. Later that century, Harvard created their dental program, and they began to recognize the importance between teaching a firm foundation in medical sciences to the dental students. Around 1900, the doctors at Philadelphia General Hospital began to recognize that for their long-term care patients, they really needed dentists on board, and they created the first dental service in a hospital. Shortly thereafter, oral surgeons were looking to be able to practice in the hospital, residency or training programs in oral surgery, and then later in general practice, dental residency began to be incorporated into teaching hospitals. And so we've come to a point where dentists now are part of many hospitals, medical staffs providing care throughout a broad spectrum of the dental specialties.
Great. So that history that Dr. Rogerson just described, there's a great book out by Mary Odell called Teeth, and it has a yellow cover. You can get the book on Amazon and local places like Gibson's, and it gets into the history that Keith just described in terms of how dental was sort of separated from medical and some of the underserved populations, that still exist in America. And she, there was a famous case of a young man that died from a oral health infection, and that became the trigger for this book. But she gets into the history. So again, if you're interested in exploring what Keith just mentioned, the book is called Teeth by Mary Otto. What are some of the services that a dentist would provide in a hospital setting?
Well, probably the most prominent dentist in the hospital setting is going to be the oral surgeon, just by the nature of their training. They're used to working in a hospital. Many of the procedures that an oral surgeon might perform, corrective jaw surgery, temporomandibular joint surgery, managing facial trauma, require the full hospital support staff in order to provide good care. So you're going to see, the spectrum of the oral surgeon's practice there. But probably more important are some of the other aspects that dentistry can provide. And, you know, that includes things like being able to consult patients on the floor who are having oral problems, being able to see patients in the emergency room in order to treat dental injuries or dental emergencies and things like that.
So everybody's doctors, nurses, dentists, you're walking around in the hospital setting in scrubs, everybody, you know, looks official. So where would you actually find a dentist working in a hospital, in the emergency room or other?
Yeah, probably emergency room is one of the more prominent areas where a dentist may be called. You know, it turns out that one of the top 10 reasons for someone winding up in an emergency room is having a dental problem, whether it's an injury or an infection or something like that. And so nationally, about 2 million ER visits a year occur for dental-related problems. It is interesting that the vast majority of those people are people who don't have dental insurance. Now, while most ER providers can do an adequate job, really they're just, for the most part, putting a Band-Aid on the dental problem. Although, you know, it's interesting, a recent study looked at dental ER visits and found that about a third of them were not managed as well as they could have been. So again, typically what happens in the emergency room is if you come in with an infection or something like that, is you'll get a prescription and you'll be told to, you know, find a dentist to take care of the problem. But the reason why they're there in the emergency room in the first place usually is they were not able to find a dentist.
Exactly. Kind of a catch-22. And a lot of those emergency room visits related to dental, you know, could be avoided. Welcome back to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio. And again, I'm also the head coach of the dental insurance company known as Northeast Delta Dental. Here we are after Thanksgiving. Again, big shout out to my running friends who participated at the Northeast Delta Dental Stadium on Turkey Day. It was a great, great field. There's also two other local races that Northeast Delta Dental supports. One is the Bow Police Association race that took place at 8 o'clock in Bow on Thanksgiving. And then at Bishop Brady at 9 o'clock, there is a 4-miler that we also support. So back to the topic at hand, hospital dentistry. And so, Keith, we were talking about the emergency room and the millions of visits per year that related to dental. Some of that is trauma, some of it's, you know, infection. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, trauma is one of those things that you'll see in the emergency room. I mean, what happens? Someone falls off a bike, someone's injured on a ski slope, and they sustain some sort of dental or facial trauma, and they wind up in the emergency room. And what usually happens in the emergency room is that, unfortunately, dental trauma takes sort of a back seat when it comes to other types of problems. So if there's a dentist available, that can get that patient seen quicker and usually provide a better treatment in the emergency room. Things like an avulsed tooth really need to be treated in a timely fashion, and a person waiting 4 and 5 hours in order to have that addressed is not doing them the best service. Now, teaching hospitals often will have an oral surgery resident or a dental resident there in-house, and so they are able to very quickly respond to that trauma situation.
So earlier you'd mentioned you might find an oral surgeon in the hospital setting. Are there other specialties that might be found in the hospital setting?
Yeah, I mean, one of the specialties that practices quite extensively in the hospital is the pedodontist. So, you know, pedodontists primarily treat, you know, younger patients, but they also treat patients with special needs. So those that really cannot receive their dental care in a typical office setting often have to be treated under general anesthesia in the hospital. And that's the role of the pedodontist. And I think that, again, this is one of those services that really is very, very important to get young people off to a good start in oral health.
Are there special qualifications for a dentist practicing in the hospital? Do they have to be, you know, approved by the hospital, or can any general dentist, you know, show up in the emergency room? How does that process work?
Yeah. Unlike working in your own office, I mean, working in a hospital means that you have to be credentialed and be a member of the staff. Now, most dentists who do have hospital privileges don't work full-time in a hospital. They have their own private practices, but again, have staff privileges. So in order to become credentialed, usually you have to be a graduate of a U.S. or a Canadian dental school, and you'll apply for privileges, which will involve, you know, documenting the fact that you have the adequate training for what you are asking to provide, as well as having peer recommendations or recommendations from your training program. And there's also other kind of regulatory issues of, you know, checking out the national data bank and doing a local criminal background check.
Sort of how we credential the Northeast Delta Dental Network.
Very similar. And I have a lot of experience in this role. I used to chair the credentials committee for my local hospital. And so, but anybody who's in good standing in the dental community could obtain privileges. One last thing is you do have to show adequate malpractice insurance coverage,
which is very important. So you've obviously been a provider, a dental provider in the hospital. So what's been your experience? Has anything surprised you other than maybe the volume of people that show up in the emergency room with issues related to oral health?
Well, we always say the strangest things happen in the emergency room.
Yes, we do. Yeah.
So, yes, I've seen the full gamut. I've had the opportunity to practice in a large teaching hospital, in a large metropolitan hospital, in a VA hospital, in a small rural hospital, and been able to, again, you know, see people with facial injuries ranging from a tooth that got knocked out to a very serious, you know, facial fracture. We've admitted people to the hospital with serious infections who were really on death's doorstep and been able to get them back to health. I've had some interesting, unique experience when I was a university-based oral surgeon. You know, I practiced as part of a craniofacial team dealing with, you know, people who were born with facial developmental abnormalities, clefts and hemifacial microsomias, and managing their problems is a really remarkable part of my practice in the past.
So when you were in the hospital setting, were there some limitations and barriers that maybe you wish you could have overcome to help the patient more, or are you pretty much given free rein in the emergency room to, you know, address the oral health issue?
Yeah, and unfortunately, most hospitals really are not well set up for us to provide our services. So we have to work with what we have. You know, I've had to take skull films in order to look for a dental problem on a patient because you can't do typical dental imaging. You know, I've often carried my own little bag of tools and instruments and local anesthetics that in the past were okay. Today, it's harder to do that because of hospital sterilization rules and things like that. You know, sometimes you'll run into a situation where physicians are a little concerned about who you are if they don't see you on an everyday basis and what you're doing there. But, you know, for the most part, the ER staff is happy to see you there when you come in and are willing to take over the care of someone with a lip laceration or a tongue laceration or an avulse tooth.
I would think that, as well as, you know, an infection, that you can sort of, you know, take care of that growing number of people that show up in the emergency room with these types of issues. So as a dentist, if you were trying to encourage a professional colleague to get a staff privilege to be credentialed by a hospital, what would you say are some of the professional and other benefits to a dentist by being a member of a hospital staff?
Yeah, well, I think one of the biggest things is that we can share our education with our medical colleagues and really help them to understand the value of oral health. You know, some of the relationships I've developed have gone both ways, where I've worked very closely with certain physicians. And then when I need to call on them for help with a patient, it's amazing how much more receptive they are and how much quicker they are to respond to provide that. But again, I think the biggest thing is tying dentistry and medicine together and making everybody understand that that our mouth is not different from the rest of our body. It's one of our systems, and that you know, these patients require comprehensive care.
Or as I like to say in shorthand, the mouth is part of the body, and that's oral health, that's hearing, that's mental health. And so it's great to connect the head to the body, and getting, you know, dentists and oral surgeons and physicians talking with each other. And I know that's one of our goals at Northeast Delta Dental. You'd mentioned that one of the potential drawbacks being a dentist in the hospital setting is you don't necessarily have all the tools in the tool chest that you might have in your own operatory. Are there any other drawbacks to being a member of the hospital staff?
Well, the one thing is, when you do become a member of a hospital staff, you are making a commitment to make yourself available. And sometimes that means a 2 a.m. phone call, or sometimes that's, you know, right in the midst of the football game, a phone call to come in and see someone. And but that's who we are and who we should be.
That's a great way of putting it. So let's thank you again for doing all this work in the hospital setting, as well as your service to the country. Let's just kind of do a quick lightning round. How do you see the future of dentistry, the future of oral surgery? Obviously, there have been many advances. As good of oral health metrics we have in New Hampshire, there's obviously the underserved populations. We have the veterans care that Northeast Delta Dental literally spends hundreds of thousands of dollars getting veterans out of pain. And we also have brought teledentistry to the Boys and Girls Clubs for the children there who have never really seen a dentist. And then we bring them to the Easter Seals Dental Center. So there's a lot, I think, of work still to be done to get oral health to everybody. But in terms of the profession of dentistry and being an oral surgeon, how do you see the next 10 years?
Well, I think everything access-wise is going to be related to, you know, having the resources, financial resources, and whether that be through expanded insurance programs or through, you know, state and federal programs. I think that's the key. I think there's an education component to this too. It is always, you know, surprising to see some people who just don't recognize the fact that, you know, dental health is really important overall, and that to a certain extent they need to make that commitment themselves to take the preventive approach and not wait till it's broke to fix it.
And I like that, because I know when we finally get people to go to the dentist and they get their mouth repaired, but, you know, dentists will tell you if they then don't take care of their teeth in between the next visit, you know, you're back, can be back to square one. So education is key. And thank you for joining me this weekend. And it's awesome that you share some of your valuable time with us at Northeast Delta Dental. And Dr. Keith, thank you as well for your service to the country and for all you do for good oral care in New Hampshire.
Well, thank you, Tom.